Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today, welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. As always, I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got an awesome show for you guys over the next 30 minutes. How many shows can you tune into? And over the next 30 minutes, they talk everything. We're talking NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL Draft. It's a Tee It Up Tuesday. Our guy Nick Kenyon's going to join us to get some of his bets at the Zurich Classic. We got so much going on today. Jake Hassan going to join us as well. Loaded Tuesday. Bunch of bets upcoming. Great sports night last night. All four NHL playoff games were decided by one goal. We had two overtime games. NBA playoffs, very good as well. Clippers Nuggets, once again, comes right down to the wire. Had a great night in our best bets. We're going to try and continue that as we will wrap the show with our favorite plays of the day. And as always, want to hear from you guys. Anything that you have on your mind today and anything going on in sports, let us know. Want to hear from you. Any best bets that you have, any plays, any questions, hit us up at the BetMGM Network on YouTube, on Twitch, on X. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you guys check out the Send It In podcast. We'll have the whole show there for you. You can go back and listen to it, what we have over the next 30 minutes. Let's get things rolling. Glasses in session. We go look at some playoff peeps to start off the show today. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, obviously, in full swing. Three NBA playoff games today and four more NHL playoff games on the card. We're going to start with Game 2 of Bucks and Pacers tonight. Officially, Damian Lillard going to be in for Game 2 for Milwaukee. So right now, at BetMGM, the spread is down to Indiana, 3.5. The total is sitting there at 228.5. That's where I'm looking is the total. I like the under in the game at 228.5. I think this is too many points. It was 117.95 in Game 1. And obviously, Dame's going to be back for Game 2, so that helps if you're betting the over. And pretty much everybody outside of Giannis for Milwaukee did nothing. Giannis had 36. Kyle Kuzma didn't score at all. We're going to get it to him in a moment. But nobody outside of the Bucks really stepped up. So I think oddsmakers certainly expecting a better team effort from Milwaukee tonight, especially with Dame back in the lineup. And then for the Pacers, really everybody chipped in, but Halliburton had an off-shooting night as well. He was 3 for 13 from the field, 0 for 7 from downtown. So you look at that score, 212, right? It's a 228.5. Both teams, certainly Game 1 usually is a feeling-out type game. We saw unders go 6-2 in Game 1. I am expecting there to be some more points scored, but maybe only like 221, 222. I still think 228.5 is too many, so I'm going under there. No play for me on the spread. Two props I do like in the game, though. We're going over points on both Kyle Kuzma and Tyrese Halliburton. Kyle Kuzma's points prop tonight at BetMGM is only 9.5. It is minus 140 to take the over, but I would still lay the juice on that. Since Kuzma, or I should say in his last 15 games for the Bucks in the regular season, 14 of the last 15 games, he scored in double digits. He had 10 or more points. Now again, he had 0 in Game 1. He didn't play well. He only took 5 shots. He played about 22 minutes. But with Lillard back and Lillard and Giannis together. Kuzma's going to slide back into that role where he's the third option and much more comfortable there. Not as much pressure on him, not drawing some of the better defensive assignments from Indiana. So Kuzma can't play any worse than he did in game one. He actually didn't record anything on the stat sheet, didn't have an assist, didn't have a rebound, didn't have a point. He had a blackout, as we like to call it. So he can't play any worse than he did. I would expect him to play much better tonight. I like over 9.5 points for Kyle Kuzma. I also like over 16.5 points for Tyrese Halliburton, or over 18.5 points, excuse me. I think this is too low as well. I think Halliburton is going for at least 20 tonight for Indiana. Again, 3 for 13 from the field, 0 for 7 from downtown, 12 assists for Halliburton. That's the thing that I really like about Tyrese. When he realizes his shot's not going down, he's going to make plays for other people. But I think in game two tonight, he's going to step up. He's too good of a player, too good of a scorer to have that bad a shooting night and that low a scoring night two games in a row. So I think he bounces back. I like Kuzma and Halliburton over their point totals for tonight. Then we got the Grizzlies and the Thunder in OKC. Thunder a 14.5 point favorite. The total in this game is 228.5. Oklahoma City won game one by 51 points, 131-80. Now that was a terrible spot for Memphis. They had the two play-in games against Golden State and Dallas. Ja Morant was banged up. You had OKC at home. Crowd was rocking, and they were just ready to go. And once you know, I talked about this on my Sunday show that I have inside the betting lines right here on the BetMGM network. Memphis, a lot of these big underdog teams that we have in the playoffs, right? The Magic against the Celtics, the Heat against the Cavs, and the Grizzlies against the Thunder. Their objective for these first two games is just to get a split. They don't care whether it's game one or game two, but I think in game one, Memphis realized pretty quickly it just wasn't going to be their night. In game two, I would expect a much better effort and a much different Grizzlies team than what we saw in that game one. So I actually like the Grizzlies tonight, plus 14.5. It is scary betting against OKC because of what a juggernaut they are, and they have dominated these matchups against the Grizzlies here as of late. I think 14.5 is too much, though. I think Grizzlies keep it close, so I like them, plus the points. No props for me in that game. No props for me in Timberwolves-Lakers either, but I do like Minnesota plus the 5.5 against the Lakers. You guys, Minnesota's been an awesome road team in the NBA playoffs the last couple of years. You think about what they did last postseason when they went 6-2. They swept the road games at Phoenix. They won 3 of 4 at Denver. They won one of the two games on the road at Dallas. And then in game one, obviously blew out the Lakers as well. I think everybody is just expecting the Lakers to bounce back tonight. And they certainly could. I mean, they got Luka and LeBron. They're favored to win the series at the start. But the Timberwolves, they are a great road team. And again, I think a lot of us last year, when you look at Phoenix, when they were down 0-2 and they went home to Phoenix, a lot of us were expecting the Suns to win game three. They didn't do that. When Denver lost game one at home last year to Minnesota, a lot of us were expecting them to bounce back in game two. They didn't do that. So Minnesota, I feel like recently, going back to last year, when it seems like, oh, you know, they took game one, the other team's going to bounce back, they're going to win that next game that they have to win, doesn't always happen necessarily with Minnesota. They did shoot the three ball really well in game one. I would not expect them to shoot the ball like they did. But even so, this was a top 10 offensive and defensive team in the regular season, one of four teams that were able to say that in the NBA. I think they match up pretty well with the Lakers. Wouldn't surprise me if they win again tonight. So I like Minnesota plus 5.5 against the Lakers. As for the NHL playoffs, Hurricanes and Devils game two tonight, I would look at the Canes on the puck line at plus money tonight against the Devils. This is just a terrible matchup for New Jersey. They're missing their best player, Jack Hughes, going up against an already really good defensive team in Carolina. They won game one, 4-1. I would expect something pretty similar tonight, like 4-1, 5-2, 5-1, something in that neighborhood. Really like the Canes on the puck line tonight against New Jersey. Then we got the Maple Leafs and the Senators. I think this is going to be an upset tonight. Give me Ottawa, plus 155 against the Leafs. Now, here's the thing about Toronto, right? Whenever they get to the postseason, it feels like whenever they play really well and they're heading into the next game, and kind of the general consensus, the vibe around the series is Leafs are going to handle business. They're the much better team. They're going to cruise to a 2-0 series lead. That's what I like betting into. I like fading the Leafs when they think that they have everybody right where they want them. Usually they throw us for a curveball. They never make it easy on their fans. And Ottawa swept Toronto in the regular season series. So there is a matchup here that they can exploit. I think they win game two tonight. Give me the Sens, plus 155. Panthers and Lightning, I cannot wait to watch this series. The winner of this series could go on to win the Stanley Cup. Florida could go back-to-back. Certainly the Lightning are good enough to win it as well. But I'm going to stay away from Game 1. I'm going to probably stay away from this series in totality. And then we got the Golden Knights and the Wild. I bet this game to go to overtime at plus 360. I think this is going to be like a 2-2 game going to OT. I think it's going to be tight. It's going to be close. Would not shock me if Minnesota won tonight, but I'm staying away. I like the value we're getting on OT at plus 360. All right, a promo now from our friends at BetMGM talking about the NBA playoffs. We had an odds boost token for you to take advantage of. Make a fast break for the action with an NBA playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's talk some NFL draft, folks. We're only a couple nights away from round one on Thursday. Going to bring on my guy, Shawnee Sharp, and we're going to talk about some of these rumors that we've been hearing about the NFL draft and whether or not we think they're true, that we think they're false, and whether or not we think there's a bet there to be made. Sean, what's the first one we got up?
Yeah, first one here for you, Paige, from Peter Schrager at ESPN. Browns and Giants are receiving trade interest for the number 2 and number 3 overall pick, but they would only move at the right cost.
I'm not buying into this, right? This has been a big story this morning, is that Schefter, Peter Schrager reporting that the Browns and the Giants are fielding calls for number 2, number 3. Of course they are, right? They have the number 2 and number 3 pick. If you get an offer, if you get a trade that you can't refuse, you got to take that trade. I do not expect either one of these teams, though, to trade out of their current picks. I still expect Hunter to go number 2 and Abdul Carter to go number 3. So, Sean, I just think this is a rumor. I would be taking calls if I was those teams too. See if you can get an offer that you can't turn down. But I think both of those teams are going to stay put at 2 and 3.
Yeah, next one I hear I got for you. An AFC assistant coach told Albert Breer that this QB class reminds him a lot of the Kenneth Pickett 2022 class.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis was in that class. Desmond Ridder was in that class. Brock Purdy ended up being the best quarterback of that class. We know he was Mr. Irrelevant in 2022. I certainly think it makes a lot of sense, right? Cam Ward's got a ton of talent. Shedeur Sanders does as well. We'll see if, like, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard, any of these guys can develop into anything. But I would tend to agree, Sean. I think that this quarterback class isn't going to be all that great, and that's a big reason why I did bet under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round at plus 310. It's now at plus 210. I think Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders are going to be the only quarterbacks that go in the first round.
All right, next one here for you. Abdul Carter, as you just talked about, potentially going to the Giants at 3. There's some injury concerns with his foot. It might actually impact future injuries. That's according to Albert Breer.
Yeah, I mean, Carter, you know, he's had this injury that he's been playing with. He nearly didn't play in Penn State's playoff semifinal game against Notre Dame because of that injury. There's been talk of what he should do this offseason. Look, if you're the Giants there at 3 and Abdul Carter is still on the board, you got to take him. He's arguably the best player in the draft. We know the Giants need help everywhere. Maybe they throw us an insane curveball and they get Shedeur or they get somebody else, but I do think Carter ends up being the pick. So we see this every year as we start to ramp up towards the draft. We start maybe second guessing, ooh, is this team going to do this? Is this going to do this? I think the top 4 is pretty much set in stone. I think Carter's going 3 to the Giants.
All right, speaking of the Giants here, there's according to SNY's Connor Hughes, they are potentially looking to trade back into the first round for quarterback Jackson Dart.
So this makes sense, right? I would look at the Giants. I would look at the Browns. I would maybe look at the Steelers trading back into the late first round or maybe even the early second round as well. Again, I don't think it's crazy to think that Shedeur could go in the second round potentially, and I don't think it's crazy to think that either the Giants or the Browns, who have early picks in the second round, could trade back into the first round potentially. Think about what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson all the way back in 2018, right? They took Hayden Hurst with pick 24 in the draft. They didn't take Lamar with their first pick in the first round. They took Hayden Hurst, the tight end out of South Carolina. Lamar was still on the board there at the end of the first round. They traded back in to get Lamar with the 32nd pick. Because keep in mind, if you draft a player in the first round, you get 5 years on their rookie deal instead of 4 years if you get them in the second round. So with the chance that the quarterback ends up being good, getting that 5th year is massive. We know that there's no better place to be in the NFL than a great quarterback on a rookie contract. So I think that is a real possibility, Sean. I really do. I could see either the Browns or the Giants or maybe even the Steelers doing something like that.
Yeah, I think now going to the next team that's probably the most interesting heading into the draft is the Jacksonville Jaguars with the 5th overall pick. According to Daniel Jeremiah, the Jags may draft Ashton Gentry at pick 5 as a statement pick. But earlier today, Adam Schefter tweeting out that the Jags are also looking at Tet McMillan at five. And also, at some sports books, Tet McMillan yesterday was 50-1 to go fifth overall. He's now down to 7-1.
Interesting. So I just told you guys, I think the top four, pretty much we know what those picks are going to be. Five with Jacksonville is where the draft really begins. I still think they end up going with Mason Graham, the D lineman out of Michigan. I could see them going with Jenty. Tet McMillan, I really don't see it. But again, if you want to get Trevor Lawrence another weapon outside of Brian Thomas, I think that's a possibility. I know they got three O-linemen in the offseason to help build around Trevor Lawrence. I still don't think it's out of the question, though, that they draft an offensive lineman at number five. Jags could go in a number of different directions. I still think they go with Mason Graham. Their general manager, James Gladstone, when he took the job, said he wanted to get better on the line of scrimmage. Well, you have a chance to get the best defensive tackle in the draft. I think that's what they do. So with Jenty now, it feels like the price is kind of diminished on Jacksonville. I'd rather just lay the juice with the Raiders at pick number six.
All right, a couple here left for you, Peach. The Denver Broncos are focused on the running back position. That's from head coach Sean Payton. And Adam Schefter reporting yesterday that the Broncos have been making calls to trade up in the first round, potentially trying to get over the Bears and try to get Ashton Jenty.
Sean, every year in the draft, I feel like there's a couple picks between like pick 20 and pick 32 or something that like every mock has, and pretty much all of them have Amarion Hampton, the running back out of UNC, going to Denver, and the sports books agree because Denver's minus 130 to get a running back, the plus 475 to get a receiver. That's the next closest. So look, we know with Sean Payton and his time at New Orleans, he loves multiple running backs. He wants to get his young quarterback, Bo Nix, a really good running game. I think it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I think Hampton's going to be a Bronco for sure.
All right, two more here for you, Peach. This one could be pretty quick here. The Bears, including myself, Bears fans, are praying that Ashton Jenty falls to number 10, according to Adam Schefter.
I mean, I'm sure you are, Sean. I don't think he's going to go number 10, though, to the Bears. I don't think he's going to last that long. If he does, the Bears are definitely going to take him, but I don't think he makes it to number 10.
I was hoping you would just, you know, fall into my, you know, agree with my delusion, but it's okay. The last one here I got for you, Peach. Saints are higher on Jaxson Dart than they are Shedeur Sanders. That's also from Adam Schefter.
You know, I don't think this is as crazy, right? We know Cam Ward's going number one, but I think a lot of these teams, they do have Jaxson Dart maybe higher than Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they have Tyler Shuck higher than Shedeur Sanders. You don't know. All it takes is one team to view one player higher on their big board than another. So I think it makes a lot of sense. What I thought was really fascinating is for Shedeur to be the number nine overall, or for the Saints to get a quarterback at number nine was like minus 175 a couple days ago. Now it's plus 260 for the number nine overall pick. So crazy how those odds have moved. I think Shedeur is going to be a guy that falls in the first round. Wouldn't shock me at all if Jaxson Dart goes ahead of him. All right, let's talk some golf with our guy Nick Kenyon as we go to the Glasser guest line. Senior writer for BetMGM. Make sure you guys are following Nick at Nick Kenyon. We've had a really great couple weeks of golf back-to-back, Nick, with the Masters, with the RBC Heritage, some thrilling finishes with Rory and Justin Thomas. Now we get the Zurich Classic this week, which for people that aren't familiar, it's a team event, right? So they play all 4 days as a team. They go best ball, then they go alternate shot for the first and second round, and then the third and the fourth round. So, Nick, how do you handicap the Zurich Classic when you're looking at two golfers? Does it make it more difficult this week?
I find it really difficult to handicap because before you even get to the Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry problem, I mean, it's a plus 350 favorite. There is this betting conundrum where it's, do you take the teams with one guy that has a really high ceiling, or do you take the teams that maybe have two sort of, I don't want to say average, but sort of mid to higher range guys that offer maybe a higher floor than some of the other teams do? So when you compound that problem with the fact you have such a big favorite on the board this week, I think it's the biggest favorite we've had in any tournament so far this year, it just makes it so difficult to handicap. So for that reason, if you're betting it this week, I encourage people, I often have a lighter card compared to other weeks, especially the last 2 weeks we've had signature events, so it's definitely poses a unique handicapping challenge.
Yeah, I agree with you. You bring up Rory and Shane, Nick. They won this event last year. You got Rory coming off of the Masters win. Shane's played some really good golf this season. But as you mentioned, they're plus 350. It's hard to bet, you know, a golfer or a team to win an event at plus 350. Did you do anything with Team Rory and Team Shane this week at all in any capacity?
I didn't. I think the number's right. It sort of what I was going back to what I was talking about earlier, like these guys are the perfect combination of guys that both have a high ceiling while offering a really high floor. That's why you're seeing such a big number on these guys. So I think that, you know, you get two top 10 ball strikers on approach. You get two guys who excel on the par fives. Those are basically the two key stats you need to have success at TPC Louisiana. So you're getting you have to lay a price to get them inside the top five, plus 350 to win. It's just not appetizing. And I just think it's, you know, there are darts further down the board I would rather throw than take that single bullet on Rory and Shane.
Well, tell us about some of those darts that you like, Nick. Who are some pairings that you have your eye on this week?
I'm just going to stay committed to the bit and keep taking Sepp Straka as long as he's in the mid-range. Bryce Garnett is his partner this week. They are 33-1 at BetMGM to win. Garnett, he might not be very familiar to a lot of, you know, average golf bettors, but he does bring some statistics that help this team given the format. Last 12 rounds, 15th in good drives gained, 19th in bogey avoidance. He's also gained strokes putting in two straight events. So in a birdie contest where you need to pour a lot of putts in, Garnett could offer that high ceiling alongside Straka, who I could basically recycle all of the analysis I gave you last week for the Heritage, but he gained 8.9 strokes on approach at Harbortown. That's his best strokes gained approach round for the season. Over his last 12 rounds, 7th in birdies or better gained, 11th in strokes gained total, and 4th in strokes gained approach. This duo finished in a tie for 11th here last year. They shot all four rounds in the 60s, so I really like the price on those two guys at the TPC Louisiana.
Nick, you just know that the week you don't bet on Sepp Straka, he's going to win a golf tournament, right? Have you accepted
100%,
that?
100%, yes. I just have to keep doing it.
I agree. It's like Justin Thomas, right? People continued to bet him, and then they went away, and then he ends up winning. So, but look, maybe this is the week that your guy Sepp Straka gets rolling. Before we ask you a couple soccer questions real quick, Nick, I know you had a golfer that you like for the PGA Championship coming up in about 3 weeks at Quail Hollow. What golfer did you just bet at the PGA Championship?
All of the attention is going to go to Rory McIlroy. Obviously, how can you not ignore? Yeah. How can you ignore him given the course record at Quail Hollow? I really like Bryson DeChambeau at 14-1. I think you have seen Bryson become this major killer. In his last 9 majors, he has 5 top 10 finishes. So that's really difficult to achieve. And one of those plays is finished in a tie for 2nd last year at Valhalla. Historically, if you look at datagolf.com, the number one correlative course to Valhalla is Quail Hollow. So there's this natural sort of symbiotic relationship between those two courses. So I think that's why you saw guys like Rory and Xander and Bryson have success there last year. And Bryson has 2 straight top 10 finishes at Quail Hollow prior to his departure for LIV. So 14-1 is the number I saw before I jumped on with you guys. I still really like that number on Bryson to win his 3rd major title.
Oh, I love that. Nick, anybody that's watching our show, the Monday after the Masters, we also gave out Bryson 14-1 to win the PGA as well. So in lockstep with you there. Before we let you go, Nick, we know you are the man when it comes to soccer, sir. We got Man City, Aston Villa today. We got Arsenal, Crystal Palace tomorrow. Anything that you like in the EPL?
Today, I did a parlay with Man City team total over 1.5 goals. I parlayed it with the Newcastle money line on Saturday against Ipswich Town. The Erling Haaland absence has not affected City's offense really at all since he left injured. Over 1.5 goals in 6 of their last 7 at the Etihad. So they've been this really good home team. And City, they're getting a Villa side that has really struggled to play defense on the road. Only 3 teams have allowed more road expected goals this season than Aston Villa. All 3 are getting relegated. And City lead a team, City lead a group of five teams that have created at least 28 expected goals at home this year. Villa have already played three of those teams. They allowed over 1.5 goals in all three of those games. Tomorrow, give me Arsenal laying 1.5 against Crystal Palace. It's a nightmare spot for Palace. Fourth game in 11 days. They have a fifth on Saturday. It's an FA Cup semi-final match. That game is far more important than this midweek trip to Arsenal, who beat them 5-1 earlier this season on creating 3.7 post-shot expected goals in the process. I think Arsenal don't play this weekend. Their next match after this one is a Champions League semifinal against Paris Saint-Germain, so they can afford to play their key guys. Palace are going to have to rest some guys, so I think it's a good spot to back Arsenal. They're at a plus 1.03 home expected goal differential per 90 minutes on the year. That's second in the league only to Liverpool, so I think you see a pretty easy victory for Arsenal tomorrow at home.
Always great stuff from our guy Nick Kenyon. Make sure you guys are following him on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, appreciate the time, man. Great stuff in golf and soccer. Good luck to you. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Talk soon, PJ.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. Guys, let's continue rolling on. We're going to get to our guy, Jake Hassan, here real quick to talk some baseball. We'll also preview the slate. B-Mills, though, question that you have for us. Couple MLB plays today. You like the Mariners, plus 115. You can't trust the Red Sox as favorites. Brian Bello also making his first start today. And then you like the over in Milwaukee, San Fran, and Texas, and the Athletics. No play for me on the total in Milwaukee, San Fran, B-Mills. I do like the over, though. Like you said, Patrick Corbin day, Sacramento overs. I'm with you there. And then I like the Yurphy in Boston and Seattle. Anytime a guy is making his first start of the season and it's not like, you know, opening day or like the first week, I always like betting the Yurphy, just shaking off the rust, little overamped, right in that first inning you're going against the top of the order. So I went with that Yurphy today at Fenway, minus 110 between the Red Sox and the Mariners. Some other bets for me in Major League Baseball today. I took the Yankees team total over at 4.5. Tanner Beebe has not been good this season. 20 innings pitched. The guy's already given up 19 hits. Yankees lineup has been pretty good here as of late. They haven't faced Beebe all that much, but I think they're going to be able to score like 6 or 7 runs today. So I like Yankees team total over 4.5 runs. I also took the over in Marlins and Reds today between Edward Cabrera and Nick Martinez. You got two pitchers with an ERA over 6. And the Reds have kind of been like the Orioles in terms of like they have a great offensive output and then they follow it up with a dud. And then they come back the next night and they score a lot of runs. So after not really scoring last night, I see the Reds coming back having a good performance. So I like the over in that game. Give me another give me an under in Orioles and Nationals tonight at 9.5. The O's are going up against a left-hander, Mitchell Parker. The O's are one of the worst teams against left-handed pitching this season. And after giving up 24 runs the other day, having an off day yesterday, their bullpen is well rested, which is the strength of their pitching staff. I think we get a lower scoring game. So I like under 9.5 in that one. Mention the Yurphy that I like in Fenway today. Give me the Phillies on the money line against the Mets with Christopher Sanchez going. I think the Phils win today in that one. Give me the Royals on the run line, taking on Colorado. Colorado's on the road. Give me fading them against the Royals today. I'll take the over 8.5 in Dodgers and Cubs. Imanaga, Dustin May, great pitching matchup. Like the over feels a little high to me, so I think we get some runs. I think somebody knows something in that one. And then I also like the Astros today on the money line. Chris Bassett's going. He's had an unbelievable start to the year. 2-0, 0.77 ERA in 23 1/3 innings pitched. I think Houston gets to him today, so give me the Astros against the Blue Jays. All right, let's get to our guy real quick, Jake Hassan, for a little crosstalk. Bet slips and bat flips coming up in a little over 3 minutes, 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Jake will have you covered with today's loaded card in Major League Baseball. Jake, just real quick, want to get your thoughts on this Cubs-Dodgers game that we have tonight. Imanaga going up against the Dodgers. Should be a good one.
Yeah, PJ, I think we have a good old-fashioned WTF here. I think we have a wrong team favored. Mm. The Dodgers continue to struggle against quality left-handed pitching. Imanaga, if you remember, saw the Dodgers in the first game of the season. Granted, it was in Tokyo, but shut them out for four straight innings. So I like Imanaga here. He's had a really strong season so far at Wrigley. I'm going to be playing the Cubs on the money line.
Very good. Jake, AL West right now, all five teams separated by 3 games. Still Texas for you, the team to beat?
still Texas for me, especially if Jacob DeGrom is going to look like he did over the weekend against the Dodgers as well. But listen, I think this division's very compelling. I think eventually you'll see some separation and Texas will start to separate here. But it's a really fun division, but give me Texas.
All right, very good. Jake, real quick, tell us what you got coming up on the show today.
It's Nick Kurtz debut day, baby. Let's go. We're here. PJ, you know, I texted you last week, grab the 20s while you can, grab the 30s while you can, and now he's as low as 8-1 out there. So hope everyone's been listening to the show for the last couple of weeks, because now it's Nick Kurtz, AL Rookie of the Year season. Choo-choo, baby.
Nick Kurtz, Jalen Hurts, Zach Ertz, Lakers in 5, Jake. Let's get it. Bet slips and bat flips coming up 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Looking forward to it, Jake. Have a great show.
Appreciate you, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, wrap up the show here with PJ's plays. Really like the card today. We're going to start going streaking. Give me Yordan Alvarez going up against Chris Bassett. Alvarez 8-for-19 in his career against Chris Bassett. That's a 421 batting average. I think Yordan's going to get us a hit today, get our streak to 5. Kyle Kuzma over 9.5 points is going to be our prop lock today. Didn't score a single point in game one. I think he gets us into the double digits tonight. Lay the minus 140. Kuzma over 9.5 points going to be our prop lock. Dog of the day, give me the Senators plus 155 against the Maple Leafs. Why? Because the Maple Leafs never make anything easy on their fan base. Ottawa swept them in the regular season. I think they get a win tonight. And then my best bet, give me the Timberwolves plus 5.5 against the Lakers. Are we so sure the Lakers are going to bounce back tonight? Minnesota's been a pretty damn good road team the last 2 years. I think they keep it close, maybe even win the game tonight. That is our best bet. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks again to Nick Kenyon. Enjoy bet slips and bat flips. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.